Our next public hearing is change of zone number 1766, Stonemark Ventures LLC.
This is an application to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from an AR1 agriculture residential district to an HR1 RPC, high density residential district, residential plan community, for a certain parcel of land lying in being a Lewis and Rehoboth 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 19.52 acres more or less, for land lying south of Road 285, Beaver Dam Road, 2,500 feet west of Route 275, Plantation Road, with a 91 address not yet determined, and a tax map ID of District 334, Map 5, Parcel 222.01. For the benefit of the record, the applicant did submit surveys and site plans with the application and has submitted revised site plans and exhibit booklets on February 16th of 2015. The exhibit booklets contain a color rendering of the proposed project, a series of maps, references to the project team, a transmittal letter and application, ownership information, a copy of the survey of the property, the rezoning site plan with site data, cover sheet, site plan, and site plan details, a landscape plan with related data information, a proposed declaration for the condominium with bylaws, declaration, deed of easement, and draft of a condominium declaration plan, references to compliance with 99-9C of the subdivision ordinance, references to compliance with the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, plus comments and responses, an environmental assessment and public facilities evaluation report, DLDOT comments and requests, county engineering comments, a Tidewater Utility Incorporated willing and able to serve letter, building plans with elevations and floor plans, and suggested proposed findings of fact and suggested proposed conditions of approval. Staff did receive a couple of correspondence from agencies. We received comments from DLDOT in the form of a letter and support facilities report dated October 27, 2014. Referencing that the developer has an option to pay an area-wide study fee in lieu of conducting a traffic impact study, that the area-wide study fee is applicable to a development that could generate fewer than 2,000 trips per day and fewer than 200 trips during a weekly peak hour, that the current level of service B will not change as a result of this application. We also heard from the County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division. Their comments were received on February 24th of 2015, referencing that 100 units are proposed, that the project is not located in a county-operated and maintained sanitary sewer and or water district, that capacity is available for up to 100 units with certain criteria, that Ordinance 38 construction will be required, that the West Rehoboth expansion area system is extended to provide sewer service to the parcel, that the current system connection charge rate is $5,500 per equivalent dwelling unit, that there is no sewer service to the parcel at this time, that the county does not have a schedule to extend sewer service to the parcel at this time, that the property is capable of being annexed into a county-operated sanitary sewer district, that conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study is required, that the project proposes connection to a county-operated central sewer system, that the county supports the project connecting to a county-operated sewer system, that the project is located in the environmentally sensitive developing zone and adjoins the West Rehoboth expansion of the Dewey Beach Sanitary Sewer District, that if and when it is determined that the county can provide service, the following approval of a concept plan and following approval of a concept plan, a request for annexation into the West Rehoboth expansion will be considered. That the county previously signed a memorandum of understanding with the Delaware State Housing Authority to provide sewer service to the parcel for up to 100 units so long as at least 80 units were moderately priced housing units and other requirements and aspects of the memorandum of understanding are met. That any deviation or modification of the MOU may require approval by the Sussex County Council and the Delaware State Housing Authority. That it can be anticipated that an extension of gravity sewer to the parcel and other improvements and modifications will need to be completed by the developer at the developer's expense in order to receive sewer service. That system modifications are to include completion of bypass and abandonment of pump station 801 by the developer. That the county requires design and construction of the collection and transmission system to meet county sewer standards and specifications. That a sewer concept plan must be submitted to the county engineering department for review and approval prior to design of the sewer system. That conformity to the North Coastal Area Planning Study technical memorandum for the Graves property and an approved concept plan will be required. I'd also advise the commission that this application has been submitted to the Technical Advisory Committee for comments and that the department has requested written comments on this application no later than June 2nd of 2015. Some of the agencies have responded, but not all of the agencies, and we will provide those comments once we receive the full packet. And that's all I have unless you have questions.
All right, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, the applicant has enough exhibit boards here to build a fort. So they're still going to be hard for you to see from where you're sitting. If you have an interest in this application and you want to get up and take a look, they have been kind enough to provide a set, apparently, I think, for your benefit. They're still hard to see from where you're sitting. So if you'd like to get up and take a look, please feel free to do so. Just ask you to not have any conversation while you're doing it. And the chair recognizes Mr. Schrader.
And I think we've answered the question, how many engineers does it take to wallpaper the county council chambers?
Apparently it only takes one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. My name is Dennis Schrader. I am an attorney for the applicant in the matter involving the villas at Lewis Crossing. I have with me a number of people this evening, and I'll introduce them. I have Megan Connor, who is the owner's representative. I have Pete Stone, who is in the landscape portion of this process. Savage from Pinoni, and Mark Davidson from Pinoni. And you may hear from any or all of these people this evening.
Okay.
As was pointed out by Mr. Izzo in his comments, this tract of land at one time was previously involved in an application by the Delaware State Housing Authority for the development of modern income property. Obviously, Delaware State Housing Authority is not here this evening. It has sold this tract of land to my client. And they have, my client is moving forward with the development of this tract. To that extent, we have submitted to you a book that contains many exhibits that you would expect to see in a project of this size for this particular area. The books contain a number of maps, site plans, proposals, and show you different information that would help you and assist you in making a decision favorable to the applicant's application. There are four that I would like to point out to you before Mr. Davidson begins his comments. The first is that at tab 9 there is a plus comments. There are plus comments to which the applicant has responded favorably or given their comments. The second is that we have provided you with an analysis under section 99C and under 194.3 that relate to various subdivision and ESDDOZ requirements for this particular project. Thirdly, there was a phase one environmental study made of this particular site, so that is available for you to understand what is going on as far as any environmental issues. And lastly, as I pointed out, Mr. Stone is here to discuss landscape plan, and we do have an alternate landscape plan that we would like to suggest to you, which will appear at tab 6 and which will be discussed by him when we get there. This project is the former Delaware State Housing Authority project. It is owned by BDRP LLC. Stonemark Ventures is the proposed developer. They have developed many of the other properties that are adjacent to this, and in fact have an adjacent property which has not yet begun construction, but which is next to this site. We're located on south side of Beaver Dam Road. It's 19.52 acres. It's agriculturally zoned at this time. We are asking for HR1 RPC that will allow my client to develop 100 multifamily townhouse units with recreational amenities on the site. The land use plan for the county identifies this as a low density and environmentally sensitive developing area, and it is a level one area within state strategies for spending map, which means that the property is in an area that is developing in an urban or suburban fashion with existing infrastructure available. We have filed with you copies of deed surveys, copies of study reports. There are streets that will be involved, as Mr. Davidson will soon describe them for you. They will be maintained by the Condominium Association as it goes forward to its self-governance. There is wastewater available, or wastewater treatment available, through the Sussex County, as evidenced by the MOU. Tidewater will provide for potable drinking water. There are no delineated wetlands on site. You've seen the location map, and of course we have the agency comments from PLUS and TAC that are in the file for you to review. And with those happy thoughts in mind, I will give Mr. Davidson the floor and allow him to really drill down on all of those comments.
Okay then.
Good evening. My name is Mark Davidson. I'm a principal land planner for Pannoni Associates, located in Milton, Delaware. One of the exhibits that I'm going to refer to tonight is to my right, your left, and it's an update to a map that I placed in tab number 2 of the booklet. And if I may, I'd like to pass in the updated map. If,
sure. Yeah. Yeah, to Mr. Lack, you can pass it on.
Thank you.
I'll refer to that map in just a few minutes. As previously stated, my qualifications, as well as the Pannoni's team's qualifications, are in located in tab 3 of the submitted booklet. As stated before, the property is currently zoned agricultural residential. It is located within the environmentally sensitive development area overlay district, and is designated as a growth area by the 2007 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan. The site consists, and I'm going to refer to the 2012 orthophoto that is also located in the booklet, but the site is consisted of a northern and southern agriculture farm field. It is divided in the middle, approximately in the middle, by a hedgerow. And there is a low depression that is on the back half of that piece of property that funnels drainage from the adjacent subdivision known as Henlopen and Landing. The property is located in a mixed agricultural, commercial, and residential area, and that is the map I just passed out, and the exhibit is off to my right here. The property is adjacent to, on the west side, by agricultural fields, which is owned by the Rollins family. This is a portion of the southern side is this ag field over here. Also on the south side is a phase 7 of the Lewis Crossing subdivision that's approved, and is, although phase 7 is on the south side, the majority of Lewis Crossing is on the north side of Beaver Dam Road and is currently under construction. I believe phases 1, 2, and 3 are currently being built at this time. There are houses located within phase 1 of Lewis Crossing, and the clubhouse is under construction or is just about to be completed. So this is being considered adjacent to the phase 7 of Lewis Crossing. And I'll get into our access for this property in just a few minutes. On the east side of our property is a subdivision. It's a single-family subdivision known as Henlopen Landing. There's 275 lots located. I believe they are, at this time, there were 4 phases within Henlopen Landing, and I believe everything has been built within that property. On the south side of our property are two subdivisions, Seawood and Gosling Creek Purchase, and they have a total lots of 146 between combined both subdivisions together. The developments that are in the vicinity of this property are mixed residential, single-family, multifamily use, as shown on this map here. Just a couple of, to the west of this site, located down on Beaver Dam Road, is the project called Coastal Club. I think it has approximately 600 units with that. And then, of course, on the towards the east on Beaver Dam Road, out by the Five Points intersection, is the Lowe's home improvement store. Because this property is located in the environmentally sensitive developing district overlay zone, Pannoni completed an environmental assessment report, which is located in tab 10 of the booklet. This report is intended to satisfy the requirements of developing in an environmentally sensitive developing district overlay district. Also attached to that report is an environmental phase one site assessment that we prepared for the owner of this property, which indicates that there's no potential environmental issues associated with this property. The report also has a wetland evaluation that was conducted by Pannoni and indicates that no wetlands exist on this property. There are no tax ditches on this property, and based on FEMA's flood insurance rate map, the property is located in a zone X unshaded, which is outside the 500-year floodplain. There are no known cultural historical resources, such as an archaeological site or a National Register listed property on this parcel. We're here tonight to, we are requesting a rezoning of the property to HRRPC for 100 single family attached dwellings. These units are two story units with two car garages and have the look of a single family dwelling. And it's in, instead of the traditional straight up and down townhouse look, what we're proposing is a single family look, but we are attaching these units. Under tab 14 of the booklet, we show some, we show a sample of what these houses are going to possibly look like that will be attached. No more than four units will be attached together, meeting the maximum 165-foot length requirement for multifamily buildings within Sussex County. Under tab 9 of the booklet are the plus comments. We met with the State Planning Agency last year, November 26th. We received their comments, and I placed in the booklet under under tab 9 my comments, my response to their comments in red. So I've answered all the questions. At the meeting was very favorable for this development, as you will read in the plus response. And as I stated at the end of my response to them, that the issues raised during the plus process have or will be addressed during the construction plan process of the project if this is favorable to for approval. Under tab 8 of the booklet, I provided considerations for the provisions outlined in 99-9C. I know that's the part of the subdivision code, but I felt like this property being adjacent to and going to be utilizing the Lewis Crossing, and I'll go over that access to the property from Lewis Crossing, I went ahead and addressed those 17 comments. I've also addressed this, the provisions in section 115-194-3 for the environmentally sensitive development district overlay zone. So with that said, rather than reading all 17 items in 99C and 13 items in 115-194.3, they're in the booklet, but I am going to go, I'm going to touch on, the remaining part of my presentation will touch on most of those items that are listed in there. The rezoning being requested provides for the means of creating a superior living environment through the development of a single-family attached project that will be in harmony with this community. The villas at Lewis Crossing will add to the character of the community instead of intruding into it by providing new and different housing opportunities. The RPC overlay allows a means to produce a development that is based on rational site planning and forward-thinking design. And this project illustrates how we've incorporated open space and traditional design elements into the new settings. And we've done that through the housing type that we've proposed for this. And again, under tab 14, we show the housing types. And there are single-family houses that can be attached, each having a two-car garage. In the booklet, under tab 11, under the DelDOT section, I provided an exhibit that shows the access to this property through Lewis Crossing. We met with DelDOT. In our meeting with DelDOT, we proposed that we weren't going to provide a full access entrance onto Beaver Dam Road for our proposed development. What we're going to do, and since the owners own the Lewis Crossing subdivision next door, what we proposed is coming through an existing entrance, although it's under construction right now, but we have it approved as an existing entrance with all the proper safety features. We have deceleration lanes, left turn lanes to this entrance here. So access, full access to the project, to the proposed project here, will be through phase 7 of Lewis Crossing. And I've kind of highlighted the route that it would take. Now, the reason I did that is to show that if our project is favored upon approval and we do move forward in providing an alternative type of, a different type of residential product to the customers, that we would build all the infrastructure. The entrance is getting built right now under the current DelDOT permit application, so the entrance will have already been constructed. Based on the traffic information that we've provided here and based on our design, no new improvements to that entrance will be required, and I believe Mr. Brockenbrough mentioned that in his plus comments, that no new improvements will be required. So we will put all the infrastructure in and build this road coming through phase 7 to be able to access, and that's a full access to our property. What we are proposing to DelDOT is do on the Beaver Dam Road is to do a right out only to the site. This will provide an alternative access for the folks back here to be able to exit out on the Beaver Dam without having to come back through phase 7 of the Lewis Crossing subdivision. So proposing that right out. Now with that, again, with DelDOT, what we agreed to was we're going to be doing the improvements along Beaver Dam Road. We're going to widen the travel lanes, improve the travel lanes, add shoulders, and we're also going to be connecting to a multimodal path that will be constructed as part of the Lewis Crossing subdivision project. Also with the Lewis Crossing project is the improvements of that entire road frontage across the entire subdivision for Lewis Crossing. So we will continue that improvement across the frontage of our property. No traffic impact study was required, but however, that the owners will have to pay a fee in lieu of in the amount of $6,430 for the area-wide transportation fund. And that was part of the agreement with DelDOT in our initial meeting with them. Tab 12 of the booklet outlines the August 7th, 2014 email that we received from Mr. Mike Izzo of the County Engineering Department, confirming that the site has an allocation of 100 EDUs. In the letter that Mr. Lank read into the minutes that came from the Sussex County Engineering Department about improvements that need to be made to the project as a part of wastewater improvements to the project. And what we had to do for the Lewis Crossing subdivision as part of their approval process, and it is currently under construction, I'm not quite sure if they've made the connection under Beaver Dam Road yet, but I know it's the permits are secured, and maybe it might just be waiting for some better weather. But we are extending sewer as part of the approval for Lewis Crossing. We had to provide a sewer connection for this piece of property. Matter of fact, what we had to do is we had to design a sewer collection system for this piece of property to make sure, and this is prior to our clients purchasing this property, The engineering department wanted to make sure that the connection that we left here would be able to provide gravity collection for the entire piece of property. So we designed that as part of the Lewis Crossing subdivision and got it permitted, and it's being installed right now. The connection to the property is being installed. Another thing that was mentioned about pump station 801 sits right here. As part of the Lewis Crossing approval, we designed the sewer system to abandon that pump station, so that will be abandoned as part of what's being constructed right now. And instead of this being a pump station, there's a manhole out there that gravity's into it. That manhole will be connected in the system that we are putting in today, and that way there will there will not be any pump stations along Beaver Dam Road for sewer collection. In tab 13 is the Willing and Able letter by Tidewater Utilities. As a part of the Lewis Crossing subdivision project, again, our clients installed a 16-inch water line connected down Beaver Dam Road to a connection point, but a 16-inch water line is running right across the frontage of our property, and that is sufficient to be able to provide fire protection and to be able to provide water for the project. The stated goal of this project will be to provide, in general, all erosion and sediment control plans and stormwater management. Best management practices will comply with Denerec standards. Actually, they'll comply with their new standards and specifications with green technologies. Pollution control strategies will be implemented to reduce nitrogen and phosphorus. As you can tell, as I stated earlier, there is a drainage way that comes down through our site. This drainage way is a outlet for a stormwater pond that was designed as part of the Henlopen Landing subdivision. We've taken that into account, which is located here on the color rendering, and you'll see that we have an infiltration pond at the front coming through. There's a very light line. It kind of shows up on this plan here because it's larger, but it might show up on the actual site plans that were submitted as part of this package. That funnels that drainage way down through here. So we will not impede that drainage way. Matter of fact, we will have to make sure that we can handle whatever stormwater that's coming off of Henlopen Landing through our site and safely discharge it as it works its way down to Goslin Creek.
As part of the Lewis Crossing subdivision, we did provided a downstream analysis of Goslin Creek, and to be able to provide safe conveyance of stormwater, not only for the Lewis Crossing project, but for the entire watershed. The RPC concept for this project allows for street trees that will be planted to eventually provide a canopy of shade over streets, as well as provide for landscape buffer around the entire perimeter of the property. Mr. Stone, who's a registered landscape architect, will in just a few minutes will come up here and talk to you about that. Recreation is in the form of a pool house and pool that will be shared with the Lewis Crossing subdivision. And vice versa, this project, because both properties are owned by the same person, we're proposing a pool house with a swimming pool in this amenity area here. The documents that will be, the way this will work is that these residents here will be able to share into the clubhouse and the pool that is already constructed as a part of phase one of Lewis Crossing, and vice versa, Lewis Crossing will be able to share into the amenity of the pool and pool house here. And this project being on both sides of Beaver Dam Road, this will an extra amenity for the actual property and the community in itself. Street lining will meet the design standard that is similar to the adjacent Lewis Crossing project. Sidewalks will provide an orientation to pedestrians with an ability to walk and exercise, as well as provide a safe mode of transportation for the community.
The site plan does show we are providing sidewalks. We will connect our sidewalks to the Lewis Crossing sidewalk system. Through this interconnection here, we are providing, again, The sidewalks will connect to the multimodal path that we're proposing out on the site. 48%
open space and trails will be coordinated across the entire property, and it also will promote future linkages on adjacent and existing future developments. The open space buffer has been provided along Beaver Dam Road to maintain some of the rural character and to help reduce noise conflicts between homes and traffic. And what I mean by that is we provide the 20-foot landscape buffer along the frontage here, and so we're going to have this, we've tried to pull this development away from Beaver Dam Road, and we've buffered it, and we're going to go ahead and plant across the frontage. Additional parking spaces throughout the development is provided to prevent overcrowding of the residential driveways in front of dwellings. This land use plan of the Villas at Lewis Crossing interrelates with the county's strategies for preserving the rural environment, conserving more open space, and providing for design ingenuity while protecting existing and future developments. And with that, that's all I have.
Gentlemen, then next, if you'll let us, we'll finish our presentation, and we'll all be available to answer any questions you may have about any of the aspects of this project. The next person who will speak on behalf of the applicant is Peter Stone, as pointed out by Mark. He's a registered landscape architect with Pannoni, and one of the unique proposals that we are making here is a slight reduction in the way the landscaping buffer works, but it will be more beneficial to the owners of both the Villas at Lewis Crossing and any of the adjacent properties. It's a good concept, and I will direct your attention to tab 6 and to Peter Stone.
Thank you. Good evening. I'm Peter Stone. I'm a landscape architect with Pannoni Associates. I'm licensed in Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. I've done a number of projects here in Delaware. When we started to look at the landscape plan for this, the preliminary landscape plan, we wanted to look at a comprehensive kind of, how do we approach this other than just dealing with the perimeter buffer, which is what the county code addresses, but how do we deal with kind of internal landscaping, streetscape, the landscaping along Beaver Dam Road, but also look at perimeter, look at what's going on around the perimeter, what are the adjacent properties, the adjacent uses, and how do we mitigate where needed or work with the adjacent developments. So the code requires a basically 20-foot landscape strip, at least 20 feet landscape, 20 feet wide of landscaping, and then it has a specification for 15 trees for every 100 linear feet. So we looked at that, looked at what the requirement was for that as far as the number of trees, and then started looking at kind of the overall project. And the requirement, the code also requires a mix of 70% deciduous trees, 30% shade trees, or I'm sorry, 70% deciduous, 30% evergreen trees, and then has certain minimum sizes that are required. So we took all that into consideration and started looking at the project as a whole. And we also looked at some other requirements for some other jurisdictions, Newcastle County and then some other Maryland jurisdictions, just looking at what other people do as far as what the landscape requirements are. And one of the things we found was that typically the buffer of the density of 15 trees per 100 linear feet is something you might have where you have two kind of non-compatible land uses, where you have like a residential development and then a kind of very intense commercial development, where you're trying to really screen the differing land uses. And that's not the case here necessarily, except on the southern portion where you have an agricultural use and against the residential use. All the other uses are similar density residential, maybe a little lower density, but it's not a commercial use and then against the residential use. So what we wanted to do was look at what's an alternative for the buffer requirement. So we started looking at a buffer requirement that was somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 trees per 100 linear feet. And then also looked at the size of the trees. Maybe we plant a larger tree, a more mature tree, a bigger evergreen tree, to provide kind of more immediate buffering there. And then we also looked at, okay, well, the code requires 15 trees per 100 linear feet, which in this case works out to almost 600 trees. So how do we take that 600 tree requirement and then apply that to the whole site? Maybe not all pushed out around the buffer, but kind of planted throughout the whole site where you have a good street landscape. You've got some landscaping around the stormwater feature, some open space landscaping, and then a heavier buffer. We do have a slightly heavier buffer along the southern boundary where the agricultural field is. So the landscape plan that's before you has total, it's got 319 trees around the perimeter, and then it has another a 250 trees on the interior of the project. So it's close to that 600 tree requirement. And there's several reasons, I mean, that we looked at this. Obviously, looking at the land uses was one factor, but also looking at the existing vegetation that's present. There is some existing vegetation present around the perimeter, primarily on the southern perimeter. If we could go back to the aerial, yeah, there's a fair bit of existing vegetation kind of on the south and the east perimeters that, to the extent possible, would be preserved. And given that it's on the perimeter, I think there's probably a lot of that would be able to be maintained through the development of the project. So that's one factor in the in kind of looking at the buffer, provide the buffer, but also maintain the existing vegetation. But also planting a lot of the planting a dense number of trees in a kind of a 20-foot wide buffer isn't necessarily the best for the health of the long-term health of the buffer. When you're doing a fairly dense planting, everything's going to grow up and may or may not survive as well. Or if you give a little more space between the trees, it's probably a better likelihood that you're going to have a substantial healthy buffer over time. And again, looking at the size of the plants, planting fewer plants in the buffer, but planting more mature plants to give you more of an immediate impact. That's really the alternative plan that's proposed. It's included in the binder. We've started to make some plant selections as well. Those would primarily be, we'd look at native plant material, stuff that's compatible with this area. But that'll be detailed further in the process. Thank you.
Let me introduce Ms. Connor. Ms. Connor is the owner's representative, and Ms. Connor, you've had the opportunity to hear what these gentlemen have had to say on behalf of the application. I simply ask you if you would agree with everything they said, as if you had said it yourself.
Yes, I do.
Thank you. That's all I need. Gentlemen, that more or less concludes our presentation to the commission this evening. I'm not sure if Mr. Robertson is interested in having one, but I do have a copy of the Memorandum of Understanding between the County and the Housing Authority for the Sewer Service. If you wish to have that, I'll be glad to give it to you. It does not obligate the developer of this property to develop it for State Housing Authority purposes. It simply obligates the county and the developer to work together to provide wastewater treatment for the development of 100 units as this site, as was pointed out by Mr. Izzo. The design standards that, or the design of the units that were set out at tab 14, if Mr. Smith had been here this evening, I think he would have been familiar with it. There is a project called Forest Landing in Ocean View, which has a similar design standard for the particular units that will be constructed in this site. As has been pointed out to you by all three of us, this property is immediately adjacent to other lands of Lewis Crossing, known as Phase 7. The entrance and exit for this project will be through Phase 7 so that it becomes a part of the greater integrated Lewis Crossing project, with the exception of the right out onto Beaver Dam Drive. To that extent, because this is a part of the project of Lewis Crossing, and based upon the exhibit that you have been given by Mr. Davidson at the beginning of our presentation, I think you can conclude that this is an infill type project where the development at the Five Points area, and roughly at the Five Points area of near Lewis, is westwardly migrating, and this is a part of that westward migration, and it will fill in a piece between Henlopen Landing and Lewis Crossing. As was pointed out by Mr. Stone, we're not asking for a whole lot in terms of a change in the landscaping plan. What we're looking for is to change the spacing between the trees so that instead of being one every 8.5 feet, as calculated by the proposed or as required by the county, we'd be able to go to 1 to 10. So we're only looking at a 2.5 foot variance in terms of what we would place in the landscaping area. But as Mr. Stone pointed out, you increase the diameter of the trees and their height and their age, and you have a little more buffer quicker that will still provide an adequate buffer between Lewis Landing, Lewis Crossing, Henlopen Landing, or the agricultural area, so that you get it just a little better. That's beneficial for the people who are our neighbors. It's beneficial for the owners of Lewis Crossing because they will not have as difficult a time with maintenance. The last thing that I would point out to you is that we have submitted for Mr. Robertson's consideration, I expect, sample condominium documents that have been prepared by Steen, Whaler, Fox, Schreider, somebody who are doing the condominium work. And as a result of those documents, Mr. Robertson will be able to conclude there is a self-governance that will take place within this project that will be a part of the greater self-governance of Lewis Crossing, and that there will be perpetual maintenance for all of the recreational amenities, streets, stormwater management facilities, and the forested buffer that we've talked about. With all of that in mind, I have submitted to you a matrix, which you may or may not use, depending upon how you feel about the project, but that matrix provides you with proposed conditions, finding of facts, and with what we have presented to you and what you have available to you in your books. I think you'll be able to conclude that this is a well-thought-out project, and it is designed to provide a superior living environment. We all are available, and that includes Mark, Megan, Peter, and last but not least, Carlton Savage, who's provided some stormwater management and engineering.
All right, so we thank you. You'll take a seat nearby, and perhaps, actually, don't take a seat nearby.
Okay.
Not quite yet. We're going to see if anyone has any questions on the commission for you first, and we're going to start with Mr. Johnson.
Mr. Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I have reviewed their very extensive exhibit booklet, which goes into great detail. And knowing Mr. Schrader, I know he would be disappointed if I didn't have some sticky notes. So I do have a few.
Thank you.
But I didn't use yours. Although some of them might be appropriate. But I'll start with, since we were talking about the buffer, I want to talk to Mr. Robertson about this. Is this something that we can actually change, since it's something that's part of our...
Well, as you know, the commission in the past has considered buffer waiver requirements, but those have been more whether or not the buffer should be there or not. You know, like if
right.
it's a what comes to mind, just because it seems like it comes up most, is if it's like a 4 or 5 lot subdivision, do you put the buffer in that situation? It's in the code. You have the ability to waive it. You just need to decide.
So we do have the ability to
yeah.
to make a change to it.
I will caution you, however, if you start making changes, everybody's going to need to make changes, and I will also say that there should be legitimate grounds for doing it. So,
well, so what you're saying to me is that once you open the gate, the flood might start.
Well, I'm not saying it might, but that's something you need to consider.
That's
you need to consider it.
Okay.
Well, that's a residential plan community, so there is potential for alteration.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Buffers have been very controversial. I have to say that. And we're, you know, and it, so it may be appropriate to waive it, though, honestly, just from a design standpoint, between this project and the existing Lewis Crossing project, you know, where they're one and the same, that type of thing. You know, but there's also a portion of the property that boundaries are is bounded on agricultural uses, and there's another portion of the property that's on a totally different subdivision, another residential property. So, you know, I mean, just think of, take all that into consideration when you're thinking about it.
Well, and I agree, because we're talking about different situations, and certainly, you know, I think maybe there's more design ingenuity we can do with the portion that adjoins the Lewis Crossing property, since it is going to be part of that, versus, like you said, the other subdivisions, including Inlopen Landing and Gosling Creek, and out of concern for those subdivisions, which is, of course, a large part behind the whole buffer and subdivision. So, so it is. I appreciate the ingenuity part of it. But as you know, in Sussex, we don't really care what Kent County, Newcastle County does. And at the same time, you might want to be careful in comparing, doing comparisons, because I would suspect their density requirements in Maryland are a lot more stringent than they are in Sussex.
And one other thing to keep in mind, too, is there was some talk about the different types of uses. With a buffer, this isn't AR and AR. It's, they're proposing HR next to AR. You know, and so there's a different density between what's proposed here, different zoning, and what's in Inlopen Landing, too.
Right, and that's certainly part of my concern if we're talking about much higher density of, with this project versus the adjoining projects, and the impact that might have on those folks, especially those that are bordering on your project. Before I get into some other sticky notes, one of the issues that always comes up is about traffic and impact on intersections and all that good stuff. And of course, DLDOT's not requiring a traffic impact study, but let's realistically look at the intersection of 23 that we're on in Plantation Road. You know, right now, my personal experience is that it's somewhat of a mess when you get to that intersection, because people are trying to get out on Route 9 so they can get on Route 1. And now we're talking about adding potentially 100 homes. And I'm not sure how many homes we have in Lewis Landing, the original part that's been approved.
192.
Okay, so now we're talking about adding possibly almost 300 more living units. And down the road, of course, as you brought up, we have Coastal Club, which has another 600. Potential homes that are going to be dumping on the 23, and eventually it's fair to say more people want to go to Lewis and Rehoboth than they want to go to Georgetown. So my concern is what's going to happen there? What's going to happen at that intersection? Because right now you have a stop sign, you know, and it's too close to the other traffic light for you really to have another traffic light. So, you know, on any given day, you have traffic backed up almost to Lowe's, you know, to try and get on Route 9 or Route, you know, to either head to Georgetown or head to Route 1. And now we're adding this. What kind of relief, or is there any kind of relief that can be done at that intersection?
Well, that's, again, that's part of probably DLDOT's future plans for this area. They do have a project slated for that intersection, for that entire area. This project will be contributing to the improvements of that intersection through the area-wide contribution that has been requested of our clients to do in lieu of that traffic impact study. The other thing that we've been able to do here is, you know, instead of placing another full access entrance onto Beaver Dam Road, we are going to utilize an existing entrance. We're going to share the entrance with Lewis Crossing next door. That kind of, that will alleviate, you know, that does help the impact, the immediate impact onto Beaver Dam Road by placing it at a different intersection, further away from the intersection that you're talking about. The other part is that we are improving our road frontage. It's just another section of road frontage that's going to be getting improved, or another stretch of road here that continues to be improved along Beaver Dam Road. And again, it's bringing the travel lanes and putting in the proper left-hand turn lanes, which we were doing for Lewis Crossing. It's the right turn lanes that are coming into the entrances, which don't currently exist right now for the other projects up and down, the existing projects up and down there. So we are making our contributions and trying to help relieve what's happening out there. Again, with that intersection down there, I can figure out how they're going to fix that or when they're going to fix it. I know that they are talking about a project there, and they've tossed around different ideas on what to do with that intersection. What their latest is, I don't know. I know they did purchase the 13 acres immediately across from that, next adjacent to the Henlopen Landing. They did purchase that property there, so I don't know if part of their project is going to incorporate that 13 acres into some kind of new design for that intersection.
Are you aware, Mr. Burton, what they're doing?
I'm aware of the old plans. I'm not aware of any of the new ones.
You know, Mr. Johnson, you and I go back far enough to remember when there were actually five roads at five points.
Right.
And they have realigned them on a couple of occasions, including there by the gas station on the opposite side. And, I understand the difficulty which you are suggesting is there because I live somewhere close by and understand what you're talking about. But I suspect that if DelDOT had thought that there was a solution that this developer could immediately put into effect, it would have been a requirement of their approval. And the fact that they're only requiring $6,400 to contribute to an area-wide study for which they must have a dozen or more traffic impact studies done by a lot of the projects out here. I'm not telling you I know what the answer is. I don't know that you know what the answer is or that Mark knows what the answer is. I hope that somebody at DelDOT knows what the answer is, but there ultimately will be growth in this area and there will be traffic, and I'd like to think they've been planning for it.
We would like to think that. Yeah. I can't say the planning they've done since they had the five roads at five points have incurred that. But
what's okay. Now 4 points.
4 points. out of curiosity, I was looking at your map, the density map that you gave us tonight. Mr. Lank, what's behind those is there's a reference to J. Lingo Asset Management, 10.8 units per acre. Did we approve that?
Yeah, that was a site plan that came through just recently. It's zoned commercial, so it was just a site plan. There wasn't a public.
That was the commercial one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
To see what was the C1 piece?
Already,
right. Already C1, which would have allowed 12. To
I made a piece in back.
Yeah. 19.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not.
So it didn't require a public hearing.
Yeah, I suffer from CRS, so I thanks for the reminder. Okay. Turning myself to some sticky notes. You addressed, thank you for this piece that addressed some of my questions I had was the surrounding densities. And that's very helpful to take that into consideration. Okay. And I understand now about after the gentleman's presentation about the alternative piece. So let's talk about one of my favorite subjects, as was my predecessor, sidewalks. Are we talking about sidewalks? Because this issue keeps popping up with us from time to time. And as I was looking at it, it looks like there was at least one piece on here where there was not sidewalks, if I'm correct. Looking at the far left-hand side, far left-hand side, right there. I kind of seemed like there were sidewalks everywhere else, but I just didn't.
The part of the.
See what I mean now?
Yes, it's right here. It's right
in that piece.
Same, What I didn't want is people to walk around the sidewalk here and then try to walk across to get to the sidewalk system here. What I was hoping for a little bit added safety instead of coming around these turns here, which is part of this right out, was to cross here and then come down this sidewalk to hit the multimodal paths on both sides. So I show crosswalks here. So I eliminated this section of sidewalk here, and I did the same thing here where the primary bulk of the traffic was going to come in and then start to make turns here. I tried to keep it right here at the intersections where crosswalks are. And also, we're looking at some stormwater measures for the property, and we're looking to do stuff in this area right along here, some green technology, biofiltration type design concepts. So I eliminated here, and I just kept jump across the cross section here, you come back, or the intersection, you come back down the intersection, you come back across.
I see crosswalks there now. I didn't pick up on that earlier. So what you, basically what I'm hearing is that those sections where you weren't considering sidewalks was more of a safety factor.
That's more safety than for...
And then the one was having to do with your managing the stormwater.
That is correct, yes.
Because that was going to be one of my other questions. All I saw was, you know, you had the one little pond there to help take care of your neighbor who's dumping water on you. And looking at the wet pond, I was concerned whether or not it's going to be sufficient to handle your stormwater management. But I'm hearing you're planning other...
That is correct.
You have other plans in place.
Right.
Okay. We're making progress right along. I like to read these things. And let me refer you to tab 8. Number 16. I was kind of struggling with that one. Because it states in there, and I quote, "This development provides for low density housing with an area predominantly having high density zoning." Isn't that just the opposite?
No. Take a look at the property over where the Social Security office is. That's 12 units an acre, the Lingo Tract at 10.
Okay, so that's what you're referring to there. It just seemed to me, it sounded like this development provides for high density housing with an area predominantly having low density housing, because I'm thinking of all your immediate, you know, housing developments, but... I see. You're including those two. Okay.
I would also take into consideration, Mr. Johnson, that even though it is a high density, as you stated, it still does provide for nearly 50% open space. So by putting the units in the way they are, it does not give you a high rise or an apartment building. It gives you small clusters of single families that are joined together.
You know, that open space piece always boggles my mind sometimes. When I look at something that's supposed to be 40% open space, I look at it and I say, where is it? You know, I see the big piece. We got the wet pond, so that's obviously open. You're considering that open space, I presume, which is part of your stormwater management. But, you know, when you look at it other, it's kind of hard for me to visualize when I see these little snippets of space, you know, somebody's front yard, somebody's backyard, and I presume that's what you're including part of that open space.
That's correct. Well, I mean, again, we do have another larger pocket of open space here. We've got some through here.
Again, we're meeting the 50-foot setback from the ag land, so you've got that open space. You got the buffers going around of the landscaping, although we're asking for a slight modification to the landscape requirements, you know, to one every 10 feet, but we are looking at planting larger type trees. So that, along with sidewalks and the landscaping within the site, I mean, it's all part of that open space theme for
okay.
the project.
I'm just saying, is when you step back and look at it, it's just hard to visualize that 49% of open space. But I guess when you take your calculators and add all that up, you know, it's like a tax return. Somehow you wind up with an answer.
That's actually probably a pretty good analogy.
It is. Although we'd feel better about it if you'd have brought it up in the fall instead of right now.
Talking about tying the villas together with Lewis, with the other project, is there going to be any requirement that the folks in the condos contribute to the maintenance of the roads and the Lewis?
About in phase seven?
Yes.
There's going to have to be a contribution towards it. Again, it's one developer, so the developer controls the way that works. But I agree with you, and we've talked about that. There needs to be a contribution between the condominium association and the phase seven for that portion of the roadway that goes out to Beaver Dam Road.
Because I could imagine if I was one of the residents in phase seven and suddenly I got cars feeding in and out of it, you know, to 100 homes, you know, I'm, you know, a little different than what you envision in a country setting, yeah.
Right.
Okay. And just to clarify on the alternative that you're talking about, it's just you're talking about bigger trees,
taller trees, and the difference between one every 8.5 feet and
that are
one
about
every,
this size, you know, versus
right. And yeah. We're talking about 6.5 feet, right?
Yeah, I think the minimum size requirement in the code is 8.5 caliper for like deciduous trees and 5 feet tall for evergreen trees. So we're looking at evergreens that are 6 to 8 feet and deciduous trees that are 2.5 to 3 inches, or say 2 to 3 inch right. caliper. So, and it's just half an inch or an inch, but that's a lot more height on the tree. So.
Well, some of those things look like weeds too, you know, right. that they put up. Mr. Chairman, I think I have kind of covered most of my sticky notes for right now, but if I find any more, I'll ask for an opportunity to speak later.
And it will certainly be granted. So we'll move on to Mr. Burton.
I just have a couple. You mentioned that the amenities are shared. Is that, how does that work? Is that the same HOA, or is that different HOAs? You can swim in this pool or that pool? And
it's going to wind up with a master owners association then with subparts, because the condominium is going to have its own separate owners association because of the condominiumization of the project. But you can have one contributing to another in order to purchase, for lack of a better word, the ability to use the amenities from one from the other.
And it's the amenities just in phase seven that would be shared?
All of Lewis Crossing.
All of Lewis Crossing. Yeah, that's
right.
Correct.
The travel lane and the bike lane that runs down that, your roadway that runs essentially from 23 to the beginning of the development, now going back that way, when are you bringing the bike lane from that entrance there all the way to the proposed?
To the far side.
Right there. When will that be done?
We were hoping that this part was going to be done before last year, and certain things, the new pump station upgrade for 207, pump station 207 up there at Nassau Commons, there's new force mains being installed, and it's going to serve a greater area, and it's going to be connected to the pump station out there on West Coast Corner. So with that delay and getting those lines put in, these force main lines put in, and I think there's a force main down to Coastal Club that was factored into that, it's delayed the improvements here, but I think it will be done before May, because that's the shutdown for Delvot. They won't allow us to do any work after, I think it's what, May 15th, something like that, May 1st. So it will be done before May.
So what we see on the plan with the housing that's already on it will continue all the way down to the end of the Lewis Landing property.
That's correct. Yeah, it'll continue all the way. Lewis Crossing is the other property corners. Oh, here we go. We're showing it down. So it'll go from here, and if you envision our property here, it's going to go to all okay. The improvements will be there.
And that'll be done prior to this beginning, essentially. You're going to put the entrance in, do all that.
Yeah, the entrance is sized large enough to handle the 100 units. What we haven't designed and sent to DLDOT just yet is our little small section of it here for the frontage of this property or the right out.
Is the right out approved through DLDOT?
Yes, they said that the right out is.
Are these units planned on being priced differently? Is it a whole different marketing strategy?
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's going to be a much it's going to be a lesser price than buying a single family lot, buying a lot and a house here. So it's a different price point for this.
Okay. Good. Thank you. I have no further questions.
All right then.
Ross.
Is there any affordable housing under the county's programs, or is there any affordable housing in the project at all?
No.
So the Delaware State Housing Authority was just a transaction. The why RPC, MR-RPC versus just MR?
It was to allow...
It's HR, just to be clear.
HR.
The HR, I think, under the code, is it... Mr. Lincoln is going to correct me if I'm wrong here, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be. I think the HR, anything under, I think MR, AR, MR, GR has to be 40 acres or more in order to do an RPC. Again, HR allowed us, I think it's 10 acres.
You can have an RPC in the other districts, but they're limited to a single family if they're less than 40 acres.
Right.
HR district decides it doesn't matter. You're applying for an HR district, it allows RPC overlay to control the density.
It gives us the multifamily.
Right, HR does.
HR does. Get that anyway.
Right.
Get that anyway. So the question is, why RPC?
To gain the 100 units that we're asking for, which is our density is about 5 units per acre.
Well, that's what I thought.
To limit the density to that number. If you put the RPC overlay on it.
Right. Takes it to 5, yes, because you're allowed.
If it's HR, it could have been 12.
12, that's correct.
It's a sore capacity.
What do you think of that, Mike? Well, that brings me to, where I wanted to be, I think, because, the surrounding zoning is AR in Seawood, AR in Gosling Creek. I presume Lewis Crossing is also AR, must be a cluster. AR is across the street from Henlopen Landing. Henlopen Landing is MR.
Right.
But it's at 2.65 units per acre. The highest density of adjoining property is 2.65 units per acre. And you're saying you want a slight increase, but really it's 2 to 1, 5.12 units per acre. And so I'm trying to understand.
If we look at it as a combination with the Lewis Crossing subdivision, granted it's a separate piece of ground and we're coming in for a separate application on this, but if you combine those units with the Lewis Crossing, and it wasn't a cluster, it was AR1, but it was with central water and central sewer, I believe 2.178 units per acre, doing the math in my head. But if you combine both projects together as Lewis Crossing, then you're at about 2.7 units per acre. And again, what I want to point out is we're...
I can tell you, at Hamilton Landing, at their 2.65 units per acre, only has 14% open space. We're putting both projects together of Lewis Crossing, we're still providing over 40% open space for the entire, for all the properties that are part that are owned by the our client. So it's...
Well, if I use Lewis Crossing, if that's what you want to use as a basis, right, well, then it would be at 2.17 and not 5.12. So, if you're saying that you're connecting this project with Lewis Crossing and you're using that as a basis for density, well, that wouldn't give you 5.12 units per acre. It would give you 2.17.
Yeah, it'd give you 2.7.
Well, I'm looking at your numbers. These are your presentation, and it says 2.17 on your paperwork, and I'm accepting that. You're trying to average the
Yeah, but that's
the Lewis Crossing number applying at $10.
Right. The you're if you take 2 point if you take the entire density for Lewis Crossing at 192 over I think it's 78 acres, comes out to 2.17. Then you take 100 units at 19.5 and you combine it together. So now you're adding acreage and you're adding density, and you divide it out, it's 2.7 as a combined project.
I know, I understand what you're saying, but if you want to use Lewis Crossing as your basis, is my point, that basis is 2.17 because the two projects are co-owned by the same owner, they're going to have similar access, similar amenities, and I'm just trying to say that, you know, everything else seems meaningless. I mean, unless you want to go down to the AR, Seawood, and Gosling Creek, which I don't think you want to do. So to get similar density, you're going to get 2.17, which is Lewis Crossing.
I think also, Mr. Can I hate to interrupt. I know what you're
going to go for. I'm just trying to logically understand how we're going to the same access, the same amenities from Lewis Crossing at 2.17 using a common road, and now we're asking for 5.12. I'm having trouble with that, you know, and I understand what you're using the numbers, Mark, and all that, and that's cool, but, you know, I've been unemployed for 40 years, so I'm not too bad with numbers, generally speaking, okay? And so this just doesn't seem to match up.
Lawrence, is Harbors of Cottage Dale still a viable project?
Until the January 1st of 2016.
And I think it was at 18. Is that right?
I'd have to go look.
But I understand what you're saying, Dennis. Well, the CR1 in the Vineyard and the C1, I would guess, in the Lingo Asset Management, some of these have been zoned since 1970 as C1, and that density came with the property. The county doesn't like the down zone, so that's the way that is. This is different. We're asking for an up zone from an AR1, not something down zone from CR1 to MR. And so I'm trying to use what the existing density is and try to understand the logic of going from 2.17 to 5-something, and I just can't get there.
The comment I was hoping to make was that it's not that everything in that broad range of area is at 2.1 or 2.2. Some properties have greater densities than others, and they're not stagnant. Arbors of Cottagedale, which is just right behind Eagle Landing, I think, Eagle Point. My recollection is that it was 18 units per acre. So you get ups and downs.
But Arbors of Cottagedale was a moderately priced rental housing application.
Right.
I remember it very well because so I like the application because it was our first application under moderately priced housing for rental, which is a big need for the employees that have to work at the beach. They have no place to stay. So I don't think that's comparing apples for apples.
Well, when you take a look at this particular tract of land and its size and its relationship to the overall area in which it exists, in order to be able to economically develop the property, you have to have a certain yield of units. If you go down to 20 units if you get down to 2 per acre for this tract of land, it's not going to happen. It's not necessarily going to remain in farmland. I don't know what it would be, and I don't mean that to be as a threat, but you and I have done this for many years, Mr. Ross, and there is a point where you have to have enough economics into a project in order to allow for the infrastructure, the sewer, the water, whatever it is that's going to go into the project. If you miss that point,
Wouldn't that just mean that the property is overpriced and doesn't reflect the actual market cost for the property?
No, that's necessarily the case given the fact that the economy has changed so much in the last. I mean, I don't know why Delaware State Housing didn't go.
Well, the fact is that, you know, I don't like the 42-foot height or whatever it is, yeah. And I like density and I like central sewer and water and all that, but it's not what I like. It's what we have, the rules that are presented before us. And our obligation as the commission is to be consistent. We're always harangued for not being consistent. And I'm trying to understand the consistency of allowing that kind of density here, notwithstanding what you pointed out of the C1 zoning. But that's a different a cart drawn by a different horse, in my opinion. So I'm just not getting there at the moment. I'll have to think that through. Since you are asking for 5.1, something units. Are there any plans for public transportation, given that you're going to be going through Lewis Crossing? How do the people get to public transportation, or is there any available?
The public transportation, as far as I know right now, is along Route 9A. There's the DART bus stop is located along Route 9. So
I guess if you're healthy enough to use public transportation, you're probably healthy enough to walk that half a mile.
The reference to the bus stop, is that's at Village of the Vineyards.
The Vineyards, yes.
Okay.
But I think there's also a sign on. I think they place these signs like every 2,000 feet or something like that, every 2,500 feet along Route 9, you'll see the DART bus stop. So, you know, with the road frontage that Lewis Crossing has along Route 9, which is 2,800 feet, something like that, I think there's another. We've provided access from our internal sidewalk system in Lewis Crossing to Route 9 for the availability for people to have public transportation.
Okay. And then, just in regards to your request for, I guess, some abbreviated landscape plan, that's a site plan issue, in my opinion. It's not a zoning issue. That's a site plan issue. And I'm just saying my opinion at the moment without having a chance to listen to the tape over again and look at all the documents. I'm assuming we're going to defer this tonight. At least I won't vote for an approval or a denial personally. But to me, trying to say, well, we're going to give you some kind of a somewhat of a waiver, but not really a waiver, and be so nonspecific, is just not a wise thing to do. It's a site plan issue. You know, I think if it was me right now and had to make a decision, I would say, no, we're not going to do that. But come back when you get your final site plan, and then if you want to ask for a waiver and adjustment, then I'll know exactly what it is you're proposing and not some vague concept, okay? And that's just what I'm telling you here and now, because then we're told, well, we're going to plant bigger trees, and we grant this somewhat of a waiver or whatever you might want to call it, and then when it comes time to get the site plan, all of a sudden that's forgotten, and we don't know exactly what's been proposed because it's not finished. It's not complete. So, Mr. Chairman, with that, I yield the floor.
All right. Mr. Lank?
No question.
Okay, Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Counsel?
Yeah, I have a follow-up to Mr. Ross's question. As you know, I'm going to be asked to help craft a motion for or against whatever happens on this.
Or both.
Or both, that's true. Yeah, right. Help me out here, because going through the proposed findings of fact and what I heard a little bit this evening, I think is a little bit what Mr. Ross is asking. There's a lot of site plan discussion on this, and even the proposed findings deal a lot with the site plan. Tell me the reasons why, or tell the commission the reasons why, this piece of property should be zoned to HR when, and I misspoke earlier because Henlopen Landing is MR, and I think I said it was surrounded by AR, so that's MR. But there were statements that it's infill, and it's infill development as residential, but it's not as though the properties around it, immediately adjacent to it, are HR, so it's not like it's HR infill like we see sometimes commercial infill where we, you know, say, okay, well, that's the donut hole, it should be commercial. I have to tell you, on preparing a motion, if it's in favor of it, it concerns me that one of the reasons would be to use the Vineyards or the Jack Lingo Asset Management ones as the sole example. Just give me reasons why this piece of property should be zoned to HR, just so that the commission has some basis that it can act on for the rezoning part of it, not just the site plan part of it.
Well, I think that if you look at the traditional standards that you have to address, which of course is health, safety, morals, traffic, water, sewer, and what have you, that's all available as a part of any motion that you may want to craft for or against the application. The question about the HR is that you look at HR and I think your mind automatically leaps to something that it's not. And that is that it is not 18 units an acre, it is not 12 units an acre, but you have to use a category or designation in order to get to a certain level, and in this case, we're trying to get to 5.1. We're not trying to get to 12 or 18. We're not trying to be commercial, but we need that HR designation to get to 5.1 rather than 4 units, in acre, as an example, or some other number. And so, as a basis, I would suggest, Mr. Robinson, this is just being cautious not to wed yourself to saying high-density residential means that it's fully high-density residential, but it is a compromised density that is much closer to MR than HR maximum that would allow for the superior environment that an RPC calls for.
And before we proceed, Mr. Chairman, if I can chime in. You know, maybe we would have been looking at this a little differently if we were looking at the whole package of Lewis Crossing and this, because then I can see the comparison to, like, Plantations East, where you have townhouses and you have single-family homes, or even Villages of 5 Points, where you have a combination of that. So I don't know that I'm as troubled about the density where if it's part and parcel of Lewis Crossing. If it came in as a standalone project, then I probably would have a whole lot more heartburn over it being surrounded by AR1 or even MR, you know, projects. So I think you put a lot of thought into the design ingenuity of it. So that part I do appreciate, and the tying it in with the Lewis Crossing makes it, for me, more palatable rather than just as a separate standalone project. So despite dumping more cars on the road, they're going to wind up at the intersection of Plantations Road and 23. I see how it kind of fits, you know, together in that respect. But you're right, just looking at it, Mr. Ross, by itself, it's kind of hard to, you know, to do that. But like I say, when we take it into consideration to similar nearby projects, perhaps, like the Plantations or even 5 Points, where you have people that start out in the townhouses and they wind up in a single-family home, or they keep the townhouse as a rental project and buy a single-family home. So, you know, that project, the Villages of 5 Points, has merit being a combination of townhouses and residential, taking out the commercial part of it, because you're not doing that in this project. As I understand it, there's no commercial proposed in either Lewis Crossing or in the villas of Lewis Crossing. It's all it's residential. Correct. So, my 2 cents. Surprise me.
Okay. Helps, anyone else on the commission have any questions at this time?
Just a clarification on Mark on your map of the that you submitted for the unit densities. Right above the Route 9 insignia, you have a Holiday Park. That was the old campground name, and it's Sanibel Village, I think.
Okay.
Just for clarification, it is a multifamily project, but it, again, is from C1 commercial. It's not HR as far as designation.
Mr. Chairman, with an HR designation, is that... That stays residential. It's not like if we were doing a CR1 and then suddenly they could be putting in a car wash or something else. It stays residential.
HR is definitely residential. The RPC component would allow for a small commercial component, and I think it's, what, 1 acre for every 100 units. I think historically in this county, projects that have had RPC designations and have used the 1-to-100 ratio, the commercial has failed for the most part, such as Painter's Mill had a fairly significant and attractive commercial component to it, and they can't keep tenants in there.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
So
the difficulty with the commercial portion of an RPC, as you said, is based on number of units. You wouldn't really benefit by a commercial activity on this parcel, and since you didn't apply for it, you don't get it. It's got to be specifically part of the application. And it was not included in the presentation, so...
Well, there's very little you can do commercially on 1 acre that would satisfy the commercial demands of an area such as this, and you still have to compete with all of the other facilities around it. You got Grotto Pizza, you got Grocery Street, you got Village Five Points.
So if it's rezoned as an HRRPC, do we as a commission have to worry about or be concerned that some entirely different project gets dumped on us with a higher density, or?
Well, it sort of gets a combined approval with the, you get the rezoning, but then you also get the conditions specific to this project. So the HR would stay, the RPC would stay. Somebody would have to come in and apply to get the conditions amended on the RPC part of it.
So in some respects, the public is protected from it becoming 12 units per...
Yeah. You're right. The counter example would be they just came in and applied for HR and said, this is a lovely site plan. Not that they would do it, but
right.
The HR would stick. The site plan could come and go. Here right. We've got the RPC, which pretty much locks it into this time.
I think Mr. Roberts and I account for about the last 25 years of zoning representation here. I don't remember anybody ever coming in with a MR or an HRRPC and asking to have the RPC removed.
There've been some that may be removed because they basically RPCs run out after a certain
sunset
time limit. Yeah. After
I know Elizabethtown had that issue.
Yeah. Still does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something we need to discuss.
Expire someday anyway, right?
Because the question is getting kind of into the weeds a little bit. The part of this relates back to the subdivision ordinance on an RPC, and the subdivision ordinance has sunsetting provisions. So, you know, that's sort of a question that's open for debate at this point.
Limiting factor of the RPC doesn't give the protection. I mean, the RPC limits, as you pointed out, the density actually to a lower number than HR. But if it's not developed and we grant the change of zoning, then the actual HR density is, 18 units or something per acre. That stays. That doesn't change. That does not expire.
So the RPC will sunset, but not...
Well, but in addition, though, if
this
there's...
This is why I brought up the density thing, what is the appropriate density? If 5 is okay, well, then maybe we're in the right ballpark. But if it's not, if the 2.17 is, then you don't need an HR-designated zoning that stays with the property, probably in perpetuity.
The conditions would stay if there's conditions that limit density, though, that's part of the ordinance. So that would stay even if the site plan goes away. But
just so the conditions would stick on the MRRPC?
The HRRPC.
The HR.
That was my
question. It's much easier, though. Yeah. Due respect, Mr. Roberts, it is much easier once that zoning is in a decade to come back and say, well, it's HR zoned, and this was back then, and let's go ahead and give it what every other HR in the county has. And so it gives me a little bit of pause, to be honest with you.
I have a phrase for you. Because I think what you're looking at, what would happen if this developer failed to develop the property. And lawyers, Mr. Robertson will confirm, are the kind of people who go to the wedding and think about the divorce. And I know that's what you're focusing on here.
No, I'm focusing on giving the property owner an extra double density, just at the one of the approval and a stamp. And, you know, and I want to make sure that it's not at the detriment of the neighboring properties that didn't get that same opportunity.
All right, then. Anyone else have any other questions or comments at this point? All right. Gentlemen, if you'll take a seat nearby now, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of change of zone 1766 Stonemark Ventures, LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to change of zone number 1766? Anyone on the commission have any questions? There being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the